Good morning and Merry Christmas. A question that it actually does relate to Christmas. We'll get there. But I want to know how far you can run. Put your hand up if you reckon you can run 1 kilometre. You know, my hands are down. Put your hand up if you reckon you could run 2. Still a fair few hands. What about 5? Okay, we can see the serious runners. 10? Okay, what about 20? And we're down to 3. How far is a marathon, Tim? And you can run them. How impressed am I? What a hero. Woo! Torben, how far do you have to run for your training? Seriously impressive. Okay, so that's the hard end, running. But what about walking? Some of you kids at school will have done walkathons, or you will have done big school walks for a reason. How many kilometres have you walked, Georgie? Do you know? 5? How many have you walked, Amy? 5, you don't know. How many of you walked, Jackson? So it was a fair way. Okay. Now, question for everybody else. Who reckons in this room they could walk 9 kilometres? Now, these are in optimal conditions. You get to take as long as you need. It's cool weather. You've got company. If you need, you can use walking poles. Could you walk from Norton Summit to Uraidla? Put your hands up if you reckon you could. That's most of us. Okay, hands down. Back in Jesus' day, that wasn't a very long walk, and most people had to walk that distance quite often. So hold that thought, and as we read, Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who's been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Thank you. This year, as I've read through the start of each of the Gospels, I find myself fascinated again by the Magi. And in different years, I'm fascinated by a different aspect of this story, but the last couple of years, I've kept coming back to the Magi. their presence in the birth stories of Jesus is a bit awkward and embarrassing for the Jews. See, the Magi studied the stars and they tried to predict future events. These men were engaging in astrology, and they weren't just dabbling. They weren't just dabbling, which is why they took this incredible trip across what was the known world. This was not a trip of a couple of hours or a couple of days. It was a long journey that they undertook. But astrology is described in the scriptures as being divination, and it's forbidden for the Jewish people to try to find the future by other means, because God holds the future. So this was strictly forbidden in the Jewish laws. We find a passage in Deuteronomy 18 that mentions divination. Kathy is watching koalas. The nations you will dispossess, listen to those who practice sorcery or divination. But as for you, the Lord your God has not permitted you to do so. So what I find fascinating is that the Magi, these men who are seriously into something that God forbids, God hates, are the ones who find Jesus. That's a really interesting, weird and hopeful part of the Christmas story. The Magi find Jesus entirely the wrong way. This is no way to find God. They're doing the wrong thing, looking in the stars to try and find the future. But when they find him, and God allows them to find him, they respond to him exactly the right way. In so many acts of worship, just by seeking him in the first place, they knew they were looking for a king. They looked the wrong way, looking in the stars, but they were looking for a king, somebody to worship. When they came to the place, to the house, because this part of the story happened further down the track. It didn't happen the night Jesus was born. It was probably a few months afterwards, by which time they'd moved out into a house. But they came to this house that had a young family in it, and they bent down and they adored him. They saw something. They discerned something of the presence of God. It wasn't just what they saw in the stars. It was what they saw when they got to the house and saw this family. So they bowed down and they worshipped him. They worshipped this baby belonging to a poor family. And they gave him gifts of the very best that they had. This wasn't something they scrounged in their saddlebags and found. It was the best that they had. They worship when they reach Jesus because they see something so much more than a young family. They see someone to be worshipped. But, and this is a bit that perplexes me more and more every year. In fact, it troubles me. The Magi found their own way to Bethlehem. No one from Jerusalem went with them. They travel there unaccompanied. Where are the religious leaders? The people who told them that this promised king would be born in Bethlehem. Where were they? These men, these religious leaders, confidently told the Magi that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. But none of the religious leaders accompany the Magi. Not even one. And do you know how far it is from Jerusalem to Bethlehem? It's about 9 kilometres, a distance that most of us could walk, and a distance that people in Jesus' day walked frequently. It's not like they needed to go for months. It was a day's walk. But they don't walk the distance between Jerusalem and Bethlehem. Instead, they remain in Jerusalem and they miss it. They miss the Messiah. They miss the presence of God himself. God come to earth. And they miss the chance to offer true and pleasing worship to this promised Messiah and to the one who sent him. So why did they miss it? Think about it. You've been looking for the Messiah, and someone says, "We've seen a star." If you're a good Jew, how do you respond to that? I think they were pretty sure that these guys were off on the wrong tangent, that they were wrong, that actually they needed avoiding. Because they told them about the star, because they were looking in the wrong way, because they weren't practicing Jews. And I think probably at the heart of it, the religious leaders believe that they've cornered the market on the knowledge of God, that God belongs to them. And this is a real danger for those of us who follow Jesus, that we believe that he only talks to and reveals himself to those of us who say, "I'm religious, I'm a follower of Jesus." But actually, no one would ever come to Jesus if that was true. Jesus calls to all sorts of people. He wants to be found by the people who are looking for him. And he often is found by people who weren't conscious of looking for him. But he spoke to them in a dream, or through a stranger, or through a series of events. The living God does not belong to religious people. God accepts the worship of anyone who bows and calls on his name. Anyone who recognises him for who he is and offers themselves to his son in worship and adoration. That is how we enter the kingdom of God. Not by being religious, but by recognising Jesus as the Son of God and bowing down. This story shows us that it doesn't matter what any person has done before, or even whether they're official sinners, like the Magi, who were doing something God said was wrong. Living a lifestyle that's wrong according to the scriptures, breaking the laws of God, even while they're seeking him. That mixture of things happens all the time. But God being God, that doesn't stop him. He reaches out to people who are looking for him in all the wrong ways. And truthfully, don't we all have some confused ideas about God? All of us? I think we do. It humbles me to realise that it's possible to know a great deal about Jesus, but completely miss him. So instead of just telling other people where Jesus can be found, down the road, 9 kilometres at Bethlehem, maybe you and I need to accompany other people on their journey of seeking Jesus, of seeking the Messiah. It might happen in conversations even over this Christmas break with people we find ourselves talking to. Don't assume that Jesus hasn't been talking to them. And don't assume that people aren't seeking Jesus for themselves. When we interact with people who are seeking something, seeking God, we might unexpectedly find ourselves in the presence of the God who is a living God, who is involved in his world. God will accept anyone and everyone who bows down in worship before him. And that is the great and good news of Christmas. So let me pray a blessing on us all. From Paul's words to the Romans, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.